Okay, well, we are in lesson 9 of our series, which is Parenting God's Way. And just a little bit of a reminder kind of where we're at in our series, we're getting toward the end, and we've gone through, you know, just the biblical teaching about parenting fundamentals. We talked about goals and methods and all of that. And now what we're doing is, this is really the practical part of it, where we're going to be going through the phases of life. And again, the book, we're going through Shepherding a Child's Heart's book, and we've pretty much even, for the most part, stuck to the way that he presented it. It's just such a great book. And so if you ever want to, this is one of those things that you want to be reminded of over and over and over again. Like I read this book not too long ago, probably like 6 months ago. Going with the teachers, homeschool teachers, we went through most of it, and just rereading it for these lessons, I was reminded of some stuff that I had already forgotten and let slack. So this is just one of those things you'll want to continue to brush up on. And so if you don't have the book, I would encourage you to eventually pick it up. It's a big help. Plus, we're mostly using his book, so it would be probably good for you guys to buy it anyway. But anyway, so that's what we're doing, Shepherding a Child's Heart. And right now, what we're doing is, like I said, we're going through the phases of life, and we're getting practical. And last time we started to discuss the period of life between infancy and childhood. So that's literally the day you bring the baby home until they basically start school, about 4 or 5. And this is where a lot of the training starts. And so we made this into two lessons. Every other lesson will just be one. So we really have 2 more lessons left after today. And so next week we'll get in from childhood until they're teenagers, and then after that we'll deal with teenagers itself. And so we said this too, that it's a process, and ideally, if you have this material from the beginning of having your children, this process goes in this order and this age. So childhood, infancy to childhood, really the lesson that we learned last week was basically to obey. We said, I'll get the main, I'll just read it word for word if I could find it. Where did I put that? Sorry, I should have been better prepared for this. Yeah, the big lesson is this. And every stage that we go through, well, basically what we're trying to do is get them to learn one big lesson. And from last week, if you're looking at it, page 2, the big lesson that your child needs to learn first is this: he is an individual under authority. And really, no matter what age your children are, this is what they need to learn first. If they don't have this down, everything else we're going to talk about next week and the week after are going to be hard to get in their minds. And so what they need to really understand, first of all, is that they are an individual under authority, and then we'll build on that. And so if you're, again, in a perfect world, that happens between infancy and childhood, but if your child's 6, 7, 8, 9, even 12, 13, 14, this is where you need to start with them if they haven't got this down. If they're under authority. They're under, first of all, obviously, God's authority. Okay? And coming out of that, branching out of that, is the authority that we have as parents, because God has made us authorities. Remember, our authority is not our own. We didn't come up with our authority. We don't deserve our authority even. But our authority has been given to us by God, and we act on God's behalf. And the Bible makes it clear that children are to obey and honor their parents. But then when they get older, they're going to have other authorities. There's never going to be a place in life where you're not under authority. And we need to learn to submit to our authorities that God has placed over us. So that's the first thing. And then we'll talk about what we learn in the next phase and next phase. But I just want to remind you that even though we're calling this infancy to childhood, it doesn't necessarily mean after your child's 4 and 5, well, everything doesn't matter now. I messed everything up. And we're actually going to deal with that toward the end of this lesson. So, okay, so what we'll do is we'll go ahead and read again Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, just because that is critical and really what we're basing most of what we're going to be dealing with on, and the reason why one of the main texts, why it's very clear that children are under their parents' authority. So let's read Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and then we'll get into our lesson today. Paul says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because they deserve it. Because they're bigger than you. Because they're smarter than you. Because they're a better person than you. No. It's because this is right. That's it. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, for the child. Not necessarily just the parents, but if a child obeys and honors their parent, it will be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. And so, this is what a child is called to do, and this is what we as parents are called to help our children to do, especially at a young age like this. So let's pray, and we'll get into our lesson today. God, thank you so much, again, just for the opportunity and the privilege it is to learn from your word. And Lord, as we've discussed about parenting, it can be a very confusing matter. There's a lot of opinions out there, and our society has many different opinions, our culture. But Lord, I'm thankful we don't have to rely on that and the swaying winds of our society, but we can rest in the sure foundation of your word. It doesn't change. And thank you, Lord, for giving us, Lord, that what we need to be the parents you want us to be. Help us to glorify you. Help our children to glorify you. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, in our lesson, last time, we learned that the main lesson a child needs to learn from infancy to childhood is that they are under authority. And you might have picked that up from, I don't know, I talked just a little bit ago. But that's the main lesson, that they are under authority, and that's the blank. In order to teach your children to be under authority, you must be prepared to discipline disobedience. It has to be. And it's not fun. We said that. It's not pleasant for us or them. But if they're going to be what God wants them to be and glorify God in learning to be under authority, then that means we as parents need to be prepared to discipline them when they aren't obeying disobedience. And then remember the chart that we went over last week, and it's down here, based on Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. The circle of safety that we talked about. And when a child glorifies God through obeying and honoring their parents, they are in the circle of safety. And that's where they need to be. That's where there's blessings from God. That's where things go well for them. But as your child steps out of the circle of safety through disobeying or dishonoring you as the parent, he needs to be rescued from the danger, that's the blank, from the danger of stubborn independence from your authority. This is a dangerous place. And as we, as parents, don't fulfill our responsibility in requiring obedience and disciplining disobedience, and as we let things lax, sometimes in our minds we think we're being nice to them and we're helping them, but really in the end, we're putting them in a dangerous place, where they live in this illusion where authority doesn't matter and they can do whatever they want. And as much as our society tries to teach them that authority doesn't matter and they can do whatever they want, it doesn't change the reality that they're not on their own. They are not a place where they are under nobody's authority, and they never will be. And they are not allowed to do anything they want. They're going to learn that. And it's a reality of life that will never change. And as they learn from us in a roundabout way by not disciplining, they learn that they can live a life of rebellion and independence from authority. As they learn that, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for them. They're not going to be what God has them to be, and they're in for a world of hurt later on. And by the way, again, a hurt and a damage that is way worse than the temporary pain of spanking. And we, you know, our society says that spanking is cruel and it's not nice, you know, and the pain is there. But that pain, it isn't nice. It's not awesome. We don't like it. But it's much more tolerable than a life of pain that comes without using the rod. So, anyways, so that's what needs to happen. And so the rescue squad is mom and dad. We're the rescue squad. Yeah, we're like Paw Patrol. basically. We can tell your kids that. I don't know. That'd be weird. Anyway, but yeah, we're the rescue squad. They're in danger. We're to rescue them on God's behalf, and we're armed with the methods God has given, and which is these, the rod and communication. That is what God has given us to rescue our children from this place, this dangerous place. In the early years of childhood, the rod, and that's the plank, the rod is primary. That's what we learned in 22:15, Proverbs 22:15, that a child, let's go ahead and read that, because that's another foundational verse that really underscores everything we're going to say today. Proverbs 22:15, where it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. This is not up for debate. Every child is bound within them. There is foolishness bound within them. They're born as a sinner. They're born with a sin nature. And it's not like some children are foolish and some aren't. This is not, every child has this problem. And the answer is the rod of correction. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And it's very clear and plain to see right there. And so we'll say this again. A young child does not give proper weight to words alone. And we said that last week. And so in our lesson today, we'll give some nuts and bolts procedures about how to properly use the rod. And so if you look at our chart again, the circles there, the arrow going out of the circle, disobedience, dishonor, the arrow bringing them back into the circle of safety, out of danger, that's where discipline and correction comes in. And that's what we're going to deal with today. Okay, so number one, the when of spanking. That's the blank. The when of spanking. When do you spank? Letter A. When you have given a directive that he has heard, your child, I mean, and is within his capacity to understand, and he has not obeyed, without challenge, without excuse, without delay, he needs a spanking. Needs it. Again, this is not up for debate, really. It's not like, it would be good if he was spanked. No, actually, he needs it. Because that's all that this is what will drive the foolishness out from his heart. Okay? And so we'll say it again. Given a directive, you've given a directive, you've given a command, you told him to do something. And when I say him, I mean her too, not in a weird 2021 kind of way, but in an English language kind of way. And so when you give him a directive and he understands, these are all really important parts of this. You've given a directive, it's within his capacity to understand your directive, and then they do not obey. And they do not obey without challenge, without excuse, without delay, then they need it. They need a spanking. And underneath that, the win of a spanking is so simple that parents miss it. It's clear as this. If your child is not obeyed, he needs to be spanked. It's right there. It's easy. It's very simple. If he has failed to respond to your direction, he has moved out of the circle of safety, and we need to put him back in the circle of safety, and the rod does that. If you fail to spank, and this is kind of blunt, but it's right, it's accurate. I couldn't argue with it. It's right in his book. You fail to take God's word seriously, and that's the blank. If we fail to spank, we fail to take God's word seriously. And it's just the fact of the matter. It's very clear that the Bible teaches this. If you're saying you do not believe what the Bible teaches, I'm sorry, you are saying that you do not believe what the Bible teaches about the importance of these issues. Remember, we read some Proverbs that's like, if you neglect the rod, you don't love your child the way that you ought to. If you neglect the rod, your child will end up in hell, but also not necessarily in a salvation way, but destruction. You're sending them on that road. Well, my children's going to go to hell if I don't spank them? Well, let's take the logic out to the end. You don't spank your child. They don't learn about authority. They're not going to obey mom and dad's authority they can see. What makes you think they're going to obey the authority that is God's authority that they can't see? So this isn't like a black and white, no spanking, they're not going to be saved. That's not true. I know a lot of people that were not spanked that aren't saved. But what we are, as parents, we're not helping them along the right path with that. As we teach them to live under authority, they'll eventually learn to be under God's authority, and they'll eventually learn that they've broken God's authority and they deserve hell, and Jesus came to save them from that, you see. And so it is actually talking about hell itself, but also where is just the danger that's then the destruction that's in life before we die. You'll save them from a lot of damage that way. So the Bible takes it very seriously. And so if we fail to spank, then we're saying that we don't really believe the Bible, that it is important. Okay? And you are saying that you do not love your child enough to do the painful things that God has called you to do. And that's not my words, it is the Bible's words. It says if you fail to use the rod, then you do not love your child. That's what the Bible says. And again, it's not like a hard and fast, like you hate your child, but it's just that you're not loving your child in the way that God wants us to. And remember, to love is not really a feeling. To love is an action. And this isn't one of the loving actions that we ought to do as parents, is to use the rod. Okay? And again, all that sounds harsh. And I almost didn't put any of that point number two in there. But it's, I mean, all backed up by scripture. It's right there. And so it's hard to get away from that. Okay. So that's number one, the when of spanking. Then letter B. I had a Bible college professor that always did that. Number B. I was like, what is number B? Okay, letter B. Be consistent. That's the blank there. Be consistent. If obedience is to be absolutely mandatory for him, then you cannot ignore or overlook disobedience. You can't do it. If disobedience is okay sometimes, then why not at all times? Right? I mean, this is where your child is going to be. Inconsistency means that correction revolves around your convenience rather than around objective biblical principle. What does that mean? Well, they disobey. Sometimes you don't care. Sometimes you do care. When you don't care, they don't get spanked. When you do care, they do get spanked. Well, that means then the spanking is dependent on whether you care or not. You see? But it really needs to be dependent on whether God cares or not. And God says every time they disobey, they need the rod. Yeah. Yeah. Letter C. This is really important. I failed at this, and I know I've heard parents say this before too, but letter C, you must not warn. Do you want a spanking? Give them a directive. You say, I always go back to go clean your room. I don't know why. Maybe I'm scarred as a child. I always had to clean my room. But anyway, go clean your room. I don't want to clean my room. Do you want a spanking? No. Then clean your room. That's not how it works. Go clean your room. They did not obey and go clean their room. They need a spanking right there. What we're teaching them is they can just, we'll tell you, we'll show you what we're teaching them. So you must not ask, if they want to be spanked. You cannot do that because, of course, they don't want to be spanked. Yes, I want to be spanked. Okay, your child then is nuts, so something's going on. Anyway, but number two, if you do, you're teaching them to wait for the warning before they obey, right? You have your two children talking to each other. One kid is like, Mom said, we need to go do this. The other one's like, well, she's not mad yet. And this is what happens whenever we wait for the warning. So your children must understand that when you speak for the first time, you have spoken for the last time. This is just the way authority works. Have your you go ahead and tell the officer, no, I'm not going to obey you the first time. It's not going to work out. They put their sirens on. He says, I'll stop in 3-4 miles. Okay, try it. And so this is the way authority really works. So, and your child needs to learn to be under authority. And they need to obey. And we define obedience as obeying without challenge, without excuse, without delay. Ms. Marilyn. We talked about that already. And I think that I understand that idea, but I don't think that usually they mean like, is this okay with you? But it's like, okay, do you understand? I say it all the time to Mila. I said, Mila, I want you to go pick up your toys, okay? And then she'll say, yes, Daddy, and go do it. But if you say, I want you to pick up your toys, and she doesn't hear you at all, and they don't. So I think we talked about that. And remember, Brother Sam, remember that? We had this discussion a few weeks ago. And Brother Sam would say, one time he said that, he was just, you know, talking without his notes. And he said, I hate it when preachers say that, okay? Like, this is what God says, okay? But then he said okay like four times throughout the sermon, and he can't help it. Because when you say okay, if you're asking, Myla, can you go pick up your toys? Is that okay with you? That's not good. Do you approve of my command? That's not it. But if you say okay, like, do you understand? Okay? That's different. You see?
Something that I have found that works to check the understanding is to have them repeat the directive.
Yeah. That's helpful too. Yeah, to make sure they actually get it. Yep. For sure. But yeah, I appreciate that idea. And I think that people do use that word okay in a wrong way because their philosophy is different. Like, you only need to obey if you want to. Like, that's not how it works. That's not helpful for them. Okay? All right. Okay? Number two. The how of spanking. Here's where we get to really to the nuts and bolts. So you asked them to do something, they disobeyed, what do we do? Letter A, you must avoid responding in anger. This is the number one thing. You cannot respond in anger. That messes everything up. So you must avoid treating your child without proper respect for his person and dignity. Just because he's in trouble doesn't mean he's like less of a human and you get to treat him like garbage. It means he messed up. And so do you, by the way. And so we must not get angry. And you know, whenever you get angry, anger is like a failed expectation, right? Isn't that when we get angry? We're angry because we expected something better. You ought never to expect that your child's not going to sin. He's a sinner. So they disobey, they sin. Well, now we deal with it. But we're not upset about it. But we do need to deal with it, okay? Okay? Number two, you must temper unwavering firmness with kindness and gentleness. There's never a reason to be unkind. There's never a reason not to be gentle. But we do need to be firm. If they don't obey, we have to tell them firmly they do need to obey. And if they disobeyed, then we take them and we follow these procedures we're about to talk about, and we do it firmly. And we say, listen, you didn't obey here, and we're not glorifying God here. And so we have to deal with this. I'm not mad at you, but we do need to deal with this. Because if I let this continue on, then you're going to go on thinking it's okay to act the way you're acting, and we can't do that. And then, see, that's the firmness, but also kindness. And there's never a reason to blow them out of water, scream or yell, or be ungentle. Okay. Letter B. Remember that discipline is a rescue mission. Let me just say this again. It's not a venting of anger. It's not revenge. This is rescue. This is not, they hurt me, I'm going to hurt them back. This is rescue. It's much different. Okay. And we've dealt with that, but I just want to remind you that. Now, letter C. Here's a procedure that can provide discipline that preserves the child's dignity. We have to preserve their dignity. There's no reason to shame them and really abuse them emotionally or mentally. There's no reason for that. We need to preserve their dignity, but we still need to also discipline. And so here's how you do that. Here's the procedures he gives right in his book. I think they're great. I don't know what I would change. So number one, take your child to a private place where he can be spoken with in privacy. Now this is important. We said this last week when we talked about people who are nervous about getting in trouble with the law or whatever. Well, you're spanking your kid in the street. Like, what are you doing? So, you know, if you need to take him separately. And even if the law wasn't a problem, which it isn't technically, but it could be annoying. But anyways, even that wasn't an issue, we still need to get the child alone. Like, you don't need to do this in front of everybody. Okay, so you got him in privacy. You're talking to him. Then you tell him specifically what he has done or failed to do. Okay, so they did something they were not supposed to do, or they did not do something that they were supposed to do. Okay? And you need to talk to them about this. They need to understand. Yes?
And that, I found, was a really good spot to ask them if they know what they did wrong.
Yep. And that's actually the exact, that's the next sentence, is secure an acknowledgement. You have to secure an acknowledgement from the child of what he has done, because remember what we're doing. We're dealing with their heart, right? And so if they don't really get it, and we're just going to spank them, but they don't really know what they did wrong, then we're not really helping their heart situation, you see? So we need to, this is what we gave those lessons on communication about drawing out the deep wells and dealing with their conscience, and they need to understand that they were wrong, or at least what they did wrong. Yeah. Okay. Number four. Remind him that the function of spanking is not venting your frustration or because you're angry. I think that's really important to voice to them. I'm not mad at you. We're not angry about this. But this is what has happened, you know? And then this is an important part of it, too. Tell the child how many swats he will receive. Now, I didn't put it in here, but in the book he said this. This helps them to know you're in control. You're not just going to smack them until you're happy. You say, this is what you've done. We're going to give you two swats, whatever, one swat even, whatever it is that you feel is necessary for the situation. Okay? So then number six, remove his drawers so that the spanking is not lost in the padding of his pants. And again, this is what the example I gave you when I was, I don't remember how old, and I had 9 pairs of underwear on. We don't want this, okay? This is partly why sometimes spankings don't work, because then, we just spank through layers and layers and layers of clothing, and it doesn't even matter to them. Okay, so that's important. Now, this is important too, part of that. This should be done at the last possible moment, then returned as soon as you are done. Okay, we don't want to expose their bottom for a long time. We just talk to them, and then we remove the drawers, spank, put back. And we'll get a little bit more detail on that in a second. It is best to lay the child across your lap rather than over a bed or a chair. And again, he describes these more in the book. And reason for that is that so it's personal, you know, and the same lap that they get on when they need to be comforted, you see, and all of that is the same where they're at when they're being disciplined. And it ties the relationship you have with your child with the discipline. I think that's helpful. Now, I don't think it's important and necessary, but it is, like he says, it's probably the best thing to do. If your child is young enough, now here's the, what about the taking off the drawers thing? That's kind of strange. Well, if your child is young enough that you still have to help them with their hygiene and you see their bottom every day anyways, then they're not going to care, right? It's not going to embarrass them. Does that make sense? I mean, you change their diaper and maybe even help them go to the bathroom. You see their bottom. It's not like, oh, mom's on my bottom. They're not thinking of that. So that's really helpful. So if that's the case, then you just go all the way down to the bottom and give them the spanking that way. If they're old enough to change their underclothes and bathe themselves, you don't want to embarrass them or make them feel the shame of nakedness. You just want to make sure there's no comic books stuffed into the pants that would keep you from being effective, right? Or really lots of pairs of underwear. So anyway, so does that make sense? So you want to do something. You at least go down to the underwear or something to where you know that you're not just smacking a book, okay? All right, number 11. After you have spanked, take the child up on your lap and hug him, telling him how much you love him, how much it grieves you to spank him, and you hope that it will not be necessary again. And that's a really important part. They need to know you don't enjoy this. They need to know it's not, you don't want to do this because you're mad. They need to know that. This keeps the spanking reference to restoration, not retribution. I think sometimes in the world, especially when spanking was more prevalent, get the spanking, now go to your room! No, okay, well, what are we doing? But the idea is, after the spanking, it's over. The situation's done. We're not going to talk about this again. This has been dealt with, and now we're restored again, and that's the point. The alternative is ground them for 4 or 5 days so that your relationship is strained for a long time. And it's just not necessary. You spank them and it's done. And it's good to tell them that you don't like to do this. I tell Myla all the time, Daddy doesn't want to do this. Daddy has to do this. She always tells me that. Daddy doesn't want to do this. But he has to do this. And it is cute and it's great. And she's starting to understand that. Yep. So anyway, you're telling me you spank Myla? Yes. She needs it. She's very too. Lots of foolishness bound. Anyway. And she's not like a psychopath. She seems happy. So, same. Number 3, the why of spanking. The why. The why is that God commands it. And we really could just leave it there. God commands it. So we don't get to decide if it's... Usually this question means, I don't agree. Well, you don't need to agree. You're not God. God commands it. Well, I don't think this works the best. Well, it doesn't matter if you think it works the best. And even if in some specific ways, maybe it isn't the best. Maybe there are ways that you can make them obey you better. But for what God wants for them and for their heart to be changed and for them to be in line with what God expects, it does work the best. So, but really, in the end, all that matters is that God commands it, number one. But then, additionally, spanking enables you to deal with issues of the heart. Issues of the heart. And that's what we're all about, right? We want to help their heart to be right with God. And so discipline addresses the heart. It does not focus on the behavior alone. It's not like, you messed up, go to your room, no behaving for a few days or whatever. Or whatever you did, you can't do it again. You can't play on your video games. And it doesn't really affect their heart. Spanking does. It gets to their heart. The focal point of the heart of the child is, I'm sorry, the focal point is the heart of the child that is called to submission to God's authority. Okay? Letter C. Think of this. Now, this is a good question. Where will your grandchildren be in 50 years if the foolishness bound up in your child's heart is never driven away? I would submit to you that the other ways of disciplining a child does not effectively drive the foolishness away. It suppresses the foolishness. It causes them to be manipulative about their foolishness, just to please you so they don't, you know, get grounded or whatever, or just to please mom and dad, but it does not drive it away. The Bible's clear to that. What drives the foolishness away is the rod. If your child does not, if that doesn't happen for your child now, where will they be in 50 years, and where will your grandchildren be in 50 years? Yeah, that's a pretty incredible question. So that's the nuts and bolts of that. Now, what we're going to do now is some frequently asked questions. Now, again, the book deals with a lot of these. Very, very helpful and practical. So letter A in his book, Ted Tripp, deals with many questions about spanking. I would encourage you to get the book, read each of them. We're going to deal with a few, some that I nitpicked that would, I feel like, be the most helpful. Okay, so letter B is this. When is my child old enough? And that's the blank. When is my child old enough? When your child is old enough to resist your directives, he is old enough to be disciplined. This is why I do spank Myla, because she is very much old enough to resist my directives. Very much so. And so, that's what we do. When he is resisting you, he is disobeying. If you fail to respond, those rebellious responses become entrenched. So the longer you wait to spank, the more the rebellion in their heart, the foolishness in their heart becomes hardened and calloused. And because they learn to live in a rebellious way. So the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be later, really. Rebellion can be something as simple as a small child struggling against a diaper change or stiffening his body when you want him to sit on your lap. When the child knows what you want and they're resisting it, then that's what disobeying is. Whether they voice it or not, that's what it is. The discipline procedure is the same as that which is laid out above. We do the same thing with a child that age. He didn't say this. Well, he did say this. I didn't write it down. But like, you know, whenever they're little, we said this in a different lesson, but we're not going to spank them for being foolish, though. You know, we're not going to spank them because they spilled their milk or so many things. I think one thing he said is they feed their teddy bear their orange juice. And stuff like that. That's just them. They don't know anything. They're childish. So childishness is not. I said foolishness. That's not what I meant. If I said foolishness, foolishness is the disobeying and acting like there's no God. But childishness is different. They just really don't know any better, and they're doing something. That's not a reason to spank them. I've heard people say, you know, I spank them whenever it's something that they really need to know not to do that. Well, you need to tell them not to do that and keep them from doing that. But what we cannot do is make spanking anything else except for disobeying. That's what it's for disobeying. And so when they understand what you want and they don't want to do it, that's when the spanking happens. However old they are, as a child. Well, if they're 25, then no. But, I mean, if they're little.
Miss Mary. Is Tripp saying anything about the infant that's reading? reaching for things that they shouldn't reach for and say no.
And they
swat in the hand ever okay?
He never talks about swat in the hand. He almost always talks about the same situation that we're talking about. I don't think that'd be terribly inappropriate. As long as the child, here's what my struggle was with Myla, and even with Kara too, is I would rather them get away with something that they know they're not supposed to do than to spank them when they really didn't mean to disobey. Does that make sense? It's like how our justice system works. I would rather a million criminals go free than for one innocent man to go to jail. Does that make sense? And that's how I view it with kids. I would rather, if I really don't know if they know, then I'm not going to correct that way. I'll just keep instructing and reminding. And I would rather them get away with stuff than for them to be punished for without cause. Because that what that does is damaging. I didn't do anything. Well, that stinks, you know. So anyway, that's where I land on it. Okay, letter C. When is a child too old? And this is a good question, too. When's a child too old? And Ted Tripp, he always tells parents he does not know the answer to this question. And that's wise. I think, because he, like you said, there's so many variables to take into account. He talked about the maturity level and all these different things. And so it's impossible and unwise to create an arbitrary date after which one would never spank. Here's the thing. Child in Proverbs means young child. It doesn't mean your offspring. You know, you don't get to spank them until they're 25. That's not how it works. Child means young child. And so that it is vague. It's not like, well, when does that young child thing end? And so you just have to, as a parent, decide that. Like, when is my child too old for this? You know? And we'll talk about that, I think, even next week some. And we'll talk about it even right now. Okay? So number three. What he has found, Ted Tripp has found, is this. Spanking is most effective in dealing with young children. And I think that's the immediate context of our verses in Proverbs. And even Ephesians 6. I mean, children, obey your parents. Children means child, not adolescent. Okay? And so young children fear being spanked. Okay? The spanking gives weight to your words. A teenager, that's not true. You say something, then you spank them. They care less what you say. You know, so there's like that spectrum. You're gonna have to decide that. You know, the spanking sobers and humbles the child. And so number four, as the children get older, they get more stoic about spanking. They learn how to deal with it. I remember that as a kid, learning how to deal. You know what? I'm gonna get spanked for this, but that's okay. Well, now I think that might be where they're too old. So anyway, the intensity of the spanking required to make the same impression on a 12-year-old, I'm sorry, the intensity of the spanking, it should say, is not the same as you would make on a 2-year-old. Wait, no, that's right. The intensity of spanking required to make the same impression on a 12-year-old that you make on a 2-year-old would be excessive. Does that make sense? If you spank a 2-year-old like a 12-year-old, that's abuse, okay? So it gets to where the intensity is just like, okay, for this to work, I really have to wail on this guy, and maybe we're getting too old. So this is something that you can't just give a number to. You're just going to have to, as a parent, decide and understand. As children mature, there are other consequences to be employed. And by the way, we're going to deal with those next week and the week after. Some things you can do if your child is not a young child anymore. And there it is. In a later chapter, we'll examine means and methods to employ when dealing with older children and teens. Okay? And so this is a question that I will never give an answer to. You just have to decide. Letter D. Can I use time out instead of spanking? And this is a very common question. Many times in discussions after teaching about spanking, Ted Tripp had conversations that went like this. And this is right out of his book. And the conversation was like, Ted, I love all the stuff you're teaching, the circle of blessing, the emphasis on the grace of the gospel, the importance of communication. That's all great. But here's the deal. I don't like spanking. Can't I use timeouts instead? Okay? And I think this is probably a more prevalent question that's even asked. I think probably a lot of people have this question in their mind, but don't ever want to ask it. And so here it is. You do not have the right to substitute what God has commanded with popular ideas of the culture. I mean, you can substitute it with spanking, but you cannot expect that that's what God wants, because God's very clear about what he commands for us to do. God has called parents to spank their children. As a parent, you do not have the right to say, I don't like God's idea, I like my idea, and I like the culture's plan better. Well, you can't. If you want to do it God's way, then you can't say that, right? That's the thing. So you need to trust God and obey God. That said, now here's something, a qualifier. If you have a rambunctious two-year-old, it may be appropriate to say, here, honey, you need to sit here for a minute and calm down. Here's a book you can look at. I'll let you know when you're allowed to get up. You know, when you have a two-year-old, sometimes it's less they're trying to disobey and more they're just hyped up, you know? And so there's situations like that, okay? That's really, if you think about it, is more, less of a discipline and more of an instruction, you see? But if they're obviously disobeying, then you need to give them the correction, obviously. Or if something ugly has transpired, to say to your 8-year-old, you need to go to your room and think about what you said or what you did, then I'll come up and speak with you later, and then that comes to the correction. That's appropriate sometimes, you know? Like this is something bad happened. I don't know what. Maybe, I don't know, smash his brother's face into something or something. Like this is not something we can just immediately go talk about and it's all done. You might need to collect your thoughts. He needs to think about it a little bit. And so that's where the timeout thing can be appropriate, but that doesn't mean you don't spank. And that doesn't, by the way, also doesn't mean that this is a 3 or 4 day thing. This is long enough where we can collect what we need to say here, you know? Because you wanna appeal to their conscience still, right? And if it's like, this is a pretty intense situation and their mind's in all different directions and we can't communicate and you can't communicate, then that's the time where we need to separate for a sec and chill out, okay? Especially, by the way, especially if you're mad. You need to wait till you're not mad anymore. Send them away, chill out, ask God's help and forgiveness, and then go talk to them and do what you need to do. Okay. That's different than timeout as a discipline, you see. Neither of these are wrong to do, but you cannot substitute timeout for spanking. You cannot do that. Okay? All right. Letter E. If I follow your counsel, all I'll do is spank. Now, I have to be honest with you. This is a thought I had as I was reading the book for the first time. So you're telling me, every single time they disobey, I need to spank them. I'll just stay in my room. Chelsea Springer, whenever. Why about you? You know, if you they disobey a lot. Here's the thing. He answers it perfectly, and it's so true. It often seems to parents that such exactness regarding obedience is asking too much of them and their children. You expect them to obey every time, and that sounds too much. The truth is, if parents are consistent with discipline, they will find quickly that their child responds and the necessity for discipline decreases. And that is more true than I can tell you. Because I was like, this is the question I had. But then I did it. And every time, disciplined every time she disobeyed, not a problem anymore. I mean, maybe for a day or two, it was like, this is a lot of spankings. But it doesn't last long because they start to learn and they understand. No, I cannot disobey. This is a big deal if I disobey, and they disobey less. Now you're not gonna go a week without disciplining. Obviously, usually not even a whole day. Now I have gone a few days in a row with Myla but I have found this whenever we're lax again and we like let her get away with stuff a lot because we're trying to be nice, it doesn't work out. Chelsea and I will look at each other like, man, why is she like this? And then we think, oh yeah, we probably should have spanked her here and here and here and here, and we didn't. And now she's learning, and she's relearning herself and training herself to say, I don't need to obey, not a big deal. And that's the problem, yeah. And so, number three, could it be that you are confronted with disobedience all day because you tolerate it? And I would say yes. If your child is all the time disobeying, usually that means that they're not correcting every time they need it. Yeah, that's the consistency part of it. Okay, letter F, what if nothing works? Nothing works. Well, there are two ways to look at this problem. First, you need to assess whether there are some holes or inconsistencies in what you're doing. Maybe you are being tolerant more than you should. Maybe there are times where your child really did disobey and you probably knew it, but you didn't. You felt bad doing it. But we can't think that way. God commands us to do it, and we need to do it whenever it's necessary. But secondly, you need to be prepared to be obedient to God, whether or not it seems to bear fruit immediately. I think last week we dealt with this. Some parents say, well, it's been 2 days and my child still is disobeying. It's going to take longer than 2 days. Okay? Plus, if it takes your entire life, that's okay. Well, don't spank them your entire life. But I'm just saying, if it never works like what you think it should, well, that's not why we do it. We do it because God commands it. Brother Barrett actually preached a great message on that, not with specifically spanking, but about Noah. And Noah preached righteousness until the ark, for 120 years he preached righteousness. And nobody came. Well, that didn't affect whether he did what God told him to do or not. You see? So we just do what God tells us no matter what. But I would contend that eventually you're going to bear some fruit eventually. Yeah. Not very likely that you spank a child every time they disobey and they don't care. That's not how it works usually. All right. Letter G. What if it is too late? Now here's the big question that especially, for us that have come to this book later in life. What if it's too late? And that is our last blank, by the way. Perhaps you're feeling, I'm learning all these things, but my children are no longer 5 years old or younger. And a lot of us in this room land there. There's no doubt that it is easier to do the job of parenting right than to correct problems. I mean, obviously, if you were to go back in time and start this from the beginning, it would be easier. But God is powerful, however, and we are never in a situation in which there is no obedient response. Okay? So here's what you need to do. If your children are older than five, if your children are younger than five, just start doing this. And I'm not confident, for sure confident, but I have a good feeling about the fact that it's going to start working and it'll work the way that the book says. But if your kids are older than five, here's what you need to do. Sit down with your children and explain your new insights. Tell them what you believe you have done wrong in raising them. And we have to focus on your deficiencies, not theirs. We cannot sit down and say, you made my life terrible. And because of that, we're doing this. No, it's like, I should have done things differently. And here now I know. I didn't know before, but here I am. I know this now, and I should have done this, but we can't go back in time. But here's what I've learned. Help them see how they would have been helped, if you had taught them to submit to authority when they were younger. Because here's the deal. This is going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult on you. It's going to be difficult on them because they've been trained this way. And you need to prepare them for that and tell them, this is going to be a little hard, and I got to be honest with you, this is mostly my fault because I have not trained you up this way, but it is still the right thing to do type thing, okay? Seek their forgiveness for your failures as a parent. I'm not dogging on anybody. We all have those. We need to always apologize to our children. I should have done this or that, but specifically as we're talking about this. And then give your children clear biblical instruction about the importance of being a person under authority. And now that they're old enough, they can start reasoning. And next week, we're going to deal with this, reasoning with your children. And remember that chart and the rod and communication? Now's the time where you can really start talking to them and explaining to them. When they're a baby, when they're Milo's age, I'm not having a conversation about authority. We're not doing that, okay? But when they're five, you can start to tell them, this is why I should have done what I didn't do. This is why. And let me explain. And teach what the Bible says. Help them understand that God has established a chain of command in this world. Show them how living under God's authority is a great blessing. And always begin any changes you make in your family with instruction. You make it very clear to them what's expected, okay? Give them specific direction about what changes you think are needed in their behavior, their attitude, so forth, where they have not obeyed and you've been relaxed about it, where they have not been respectful and you've relaxed about it. We need to explain, this is exactly what I'm looking for now, and this is where we're at. Help them see how being more submissive to authority will help things go well for them. Determine how you will respond to disobedience in the future. Be sure that they understand and are comfortable with how you will respond. Tell this all to them up front. Make some decisions up front. Tell them if you disobey, this is how we're going to deal with it. And make sure they understand that. No new approaches can be successfully undertaken for the sole purpose of changing your children. Do not start this because now I want my children to be better. That's not the goal. What we're saying is I want my home to be what God wants it to be. Okay? They will, listen, your children, especially when they're 5 or 6 or 7, they will respond to your attempts to be consistently biblical in all of life, and they will resist anything that looks like they're being manipulated. Children know when they're being manipulated. So we need to explain to them what we're doing here. So whatever you do, you will require patience. It's hard for a family to change its direction. What is ahead of you is a matter of spiritual struggle against the forces of evil. I'm telling you, this is not going to be easy. And I'm not going to tell you that, hey, you start doing this and in a week or two, everything's going to be great. No, this is going to be difficult because we're going to have to backtrack some things and get some things laid down. And so there's more to it than just applying biblical principles. We're going to need God's help. Pray, ask God's help, wait on God, study the scriptures with your children, share with them what you're learning, why changes in your family are important. And you're going to have to consistently and constantly do this and tell them and tell them. And then your focus must be on what it means for you to honor God in your family life, not on how to get your kids in line. Remember, this is if we haven't done this, this is our fault. We need to change what we do, and then your children decide if they're going to change what they do. But you cannot control your children, okay? So that's that age. Next time, we're going to look at both the objectives and the procedures for children in the period from childhood till teenage years. So we'll deal with that next week and the next steps, okay? All right, let's pray, and I'll let you go. I'm a little late. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how it helps us to know what it means to be a parent under your authority. Help us trust you. Help us to be obedient to you, and I pray for our children that they would learn to, as well, to be obedient to you as they obey us. Lord, we love you. Pray that you bless our week and bring us back again next week. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.